Tater Report, CIUT, 89.5 FM. That was Big Bill Brunzi. And truer words were never spoken. And apropos of that, Phil, there's some news on Black Lives Matter.
Yes, Black Lives Matter, and they have a website, blacklivesmatter.ca. There was a walkout from Toronto schools today led by Black Lives Matter and included some teachers. They went to the York Woods Library, a historic center of black literature in Toronto, and they had a kind of like a teach-in. I guess a good way to describe it. They have a couple of issues, and the big issue they're really talking about is the police in the schools. That's a policy of the Toronto Board of Education, to have uniform police in the schools, and they would like that to stop. Another issue they talked about was the fact that black kids, and this is an old, old story, streamed out of the academic stream into vocational training. So assumptions are just made by the educational authorities. And they're also talking about the use of police in the schools. There was an example in Peel Region that still has not been dealt with, where a six-year-old girl was handcuffed by a Peel Regional Police officer.
He was afraid of her. You can understand.
Of course.
He was terrified.
Absolutely. Very logical, very sensible. She was already 6 years old.
You know, thanks to the internet, now it's the web is full of these pictures of this kind of thing. And we realize something that, well, it can't be ignored because they actually, this happened. This is the picture. So, you can't deny. And that's very helpful phenomena. And again, where were the
There were good reports in both CBC and at the City News staff. And as I say, they have a website, blacklivesmatter.ca, and please go check it out.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks, Phil. That's Phil Collins, Classical Underground, Wednesday, 6 to 8. Remember now, we have our membership drive coming up. And of course, we want to tell our listeners that next week when you tune into the Tater Report, we're going to be doing our programming. There'll be some interesting matters, and no doubt we'll be talking about the French election, but we're going to concentrate also on building this wonderful station with all the great programming, hour in and hour out. It's terrific programming, and so we know that you're going to support the membership drive, and you can, of course, if you can jump in early if you want, and you can go to CIUT.fm, make a pledge right now, actually, and just we would appreciate if you mentioned the Tater Report. When in doubt, write and ask, and we'll tell you the same thing. This is Monday, and it's May 1st, and I have news from Montreal that the Quebec labor movement, that is at every level, the official trade union movement, has endorsed May Day, and they are leading the May Day marches in Montreal, Quebec City, Trois-Rivières, and you probably went, if you went to the Yonge Street or went to Bloor or wherever looking for the Anglo-Canadian labor movement, it's waiting for the Queen's permission to follow a bunch of horses into the Queen's joint down there on the lake. Labor Day here is established by the capitalist class in English Canada and America because they think they should lead it to make sure that labor behaves. But in Quebec, once again, I know it rankles people to hear this, but the QFL and the Montreal Labor Federation are leading the march, and it'll do the usual thing. It's calling for a shorter work day and for safety on the job and all of labor's causes. By the way, it'll probably be addressed by politicians. It'll probably be addressed by there is a Quebec Solidaire now political party. There's also the Parti Québécois and the Bloc Québécois. There's a news story. I'm interested in this. Our Minister of Defense seems to be in some trouble, and that's Sajid Dosanjh, because he was gilding the lily, they say, about his military service. where he used, unfortunately for him, the word – he said he was the architect of a great victory. Incidentally, this is – thank goodness we spoke to Jamie Swift about Vimy, because these great victories that they're talking about in Afghanistan or significant battles have all already been turned to dust, smoke. The United States is sending more troops at the moment into Afghanistan. They just dropped – a super bomb, the largest non-nuclear bomb. It's been dropped in the past 2 or 3 weeks. We've all forgotten about it. We're all going back to where, the Blue Jays record and this kind of stuff. But there is no big victory there. So whatever Mr. Dosanjh did, it doesn't, frankly, in my opinion, deserve much attention, except to the extent that, well, if you got hurt there, you should be compensated and cared for. And if you were heroic, you should probably get a medal. But there's no use kidding ourselves. This is just a military expedition. And this is 19th century stuff. The empire sends its troops into Afghanistan or Syria or Iraq. And these are called expeditionary forces. And the idea is it's the white man's troops, as they say. They go in. And in the case of Winston Churchill, in the case of Iraq, he advocated using chemical warfare. He said, drop it on the tribes that are resisting us. He used the word tribes. That was Winston Churchill. Things have not changed at all.
Phil, do you know that there's an Anglican cathedral on King Street? Of course, it would be on King Street, St. James. They have stones in there about some of the early parishioners. And a number of them, they say, well, this is in honor of Colonel so-and-so from this city who died in Afghanistan in 1850 and who died in Afghanistan in 1860. So it seems to be kind of a tradition that we take part in expeditions in Afghanistan. What is it that we want there? What is it that they have that we must have that we send people there to get killed?
Yeah. Well, in that case, yes, Afghanistan is – the guy who wrote about it so vividly was the British poet Kipling.
Oh, Kipling.
Kipling. Yes. He wrote those – he was in favor of empire, but he wrote blood-curdling stories about what would happen to you if the locals got their hands on you. Thank heaven he did that. But apropos of Dosanjh, they're chosen – the opposition parties are all heroically on their feet giving him a hard time over his – what I would call again, gilding the lily. But if it's honesty that bothers them, what I want to know is why are they leaving Miss Chrystia Freeland a walk or a pass? And the answer is Russia. Because if you can say Russia made me do it, which I would have told Mr. Dosanjh, just say it was Russians caused the problem, and then they'll leave you alone. Because Chrystia Freeland is as big a fibber and bigger, in my opinion, than Mr. Dosanjh, because her fib is that she's cultivated and developed as a young Ukrainian nationalist in Alberta. Where else would you Ukrainian nationalist be cultivated? Who owed her inspiration and her political guidance to her grandparents, one of whom was Mikhail Komiak, who she has neglected to tell us was a Nazi collaborator. Now, scholars tell us that she knows that, but she told the Toronto Star in an intimate profile of what a marvelous person she was, that how much her grandfather meant to her and how he had been like a tutor. And again, she described him as a refugee who believed in freedom. At the time of that interview, she knew very well that was not the case if the scholarship holds up. And the scholar we're speaking of is her own uncle, who has done this work and told us who Mikhail Komiak is or was. Now, Komiak was an out-and-out Nazi collaborator at a time when the Jews were being murdered by the Nazis. And his paper, Krakow News, thought that was fine and dandy. They said, oh, good, Kiev has been cleansed of Jews. That's what it said. Now, how come the media doesn't feel that that's a kind of a problem? And I know that one of the things – I've been looking at her website. She's decided how to beat a rap. She says periodically, boy, do I like Israel. I'm all for Israel. I'm going to defend Israel. Oh, that's fine. That's good. That's her business. However, if you're so enthusiastic on that point, can you please explain why you have always said that your grandfather was a good guy and a refugee when, in fact, he was a Nazi collaborator? That's what we need to know about. And this is pertinent because in Ukraine today, which Miss Freeland thinks is fine and dandy too, she thinks that's great, we have out-and-out anti-Semites on the streets in Ukraine, naming a street after Bandera, making it actually a crime to say anything offensive about Mr. Bandera's Nazi-supporting army. It's a crime to badmouth them, which, frankly, I would tell you is a duty. So, Ms. Freeland, you see, here's the problem. And now they say with Mr. Dosanjh, the issue is honesty. Well, how about Ms. Freeland? And I know we haven't come to the point where we can start talking about liar or not liar because she hasn't said a word about this grandfather. She's left us with – she's clinging to Grandpa and his reputation. She's also clinging to Mr. Poroshenko, the chocolate king of Kiev, and to the right-wingers there. She never says a word against them. And I tell you why. She's afraid of them. Either that or she loves them. But she's with them. So if you want to worry about Nazism and you want to worry about anti-Semitism, you got them walking around the streets of Ukraine right now. But Miss Freeland doesn't say a thing. And her grandfather, if these guys continue on their path, the Bandera gang, there'll be pictures of Grandpa on the walls about what a great guy he is. They'll probably build a monument. They'll probably ask for the 25 boxes back, his newspaper that he left in the Alberta Museum, you know, for everybody to come and see. And they would like to have that because they want to republish it because they think it's all wonderful and terrific. So I'm not buying it. This thing, picking out Dosanjh, that's easy work. And it probably involves a little bit of racism while we're at it. Not that I'm any admirer of his. I don't understand Canadian, the way this government operates. Mr. Dosanjh, I was reading that there's a minister in Punjab. He's the most highest elected official in the Punjab. And he wanted to come to Canada to give a speech, and people interfered and prevailed upon the Canadian government to tell him that he's not to give a talk in Canada. And his name is Amarinder Singh. I advise you to look into that. Amarinder Singh, an elected Punjabi official, highest ranking, captain in the army, by the way, General Dosanjh, was told not to give speeches in Canada. So that's why he said he didn't want to meet our defense minister. It's kind of what they call tit for tat. At any rate, these things are kind of important. I think we have a couple of minutes left. I have a May Day speech for you. This was delivered in 1890 by an interesting young woman to the biggest crowd that ever attended a Labor Day march, a May Day. And she said, we've come to do the work of political, not to do the work of political parties, but we've come here in the cause of labor, in its defense, to demand its own rights. And I can remember when we came in handfuls to a few dozen to Hyde Park to demand an 8 hours bill. But the dozens have grown to hundreds and the hundreds to thousands until we have this magnificent demonstration that fills the park today. We're standing face to face with another demonstration, but I am glad to see that the great masses of the people are on our side. Those of us who have gone through all the worry of the dock strike and especially the gas workers strike and have seen the men, women, and children stand round us have had enough of strikes, and we are determined to secure an 8 hours day by legal enactment. Unless we do so, it will be taken from us at the first opportunity. We will only have ourselves to blame if we do not achieve the victory which this great day could so easily give us. There is in the park this afternoon a man whom Mr. Gladstone once imprisoned, Michael Davitt, but Mr. Gladstone is now on the best of terms with him. What do you suppose is the reason for the change? Why has the Liberal Party been so suddenly converted to home rule? Simply because the Irish people sent 80 members to the House of Commons to support the Conservatives. In the same way, we must kick these Liberals and Radical members out if they refuse to support our program. I am speaking this afternoon not only as a trade unionist but as a socialist. Socialists believe that the eight-hour day is the first and most immediate step to be taken, and we aim at this time at a time when there will be no longer – we aim at a time when there will no longer be one class supporting two others, but the unemployed both at the top and the bottom of society will be got rid of. This is not the end but only the beginning of the struggle. It is not enough to come here to demonstrate in favor of an eight-hour day. We must not be like some Christians who sin for 6 days and go to church on the seventh, but we must speak for the cause daily and make the men and women, especially the women that we meet, come and can join the ranks and help us. Rise like lions after slumber in unvanquished number. Shake your chains, earth like dew which in sleep had fallen in you. Ye are many, they are few. And that was Eleanor Marx, Carl's little daughter. And this is the Taylor Report, CIT 89.5 FM. And thanks, Eric. We'll see you next week.